And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I am talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. A few more quick text messages. I'll get those caught up, and then I'll jump on into the material. So Chris from Madison says, is this on topic? Let me see. He says, hey, Phil, quick question for you about voting. Okay. All right, here we go. I know you're a big proponent for everyone getting out to vote. Sometimes I have the feeling that since we live in such a red state, it doesn't really matter. I've heard other people say something similar. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the importance of voting, even though we're in such a one-sided state. Here's my thought. Vote! How's that for an answer? Why would you not? The person who says, well, my vote doesn't really count. Let me just tell you something. In the entire nation, in the Bush-Gore election of 2000, everything came down to one county in South Florida. Everything. The entire nation waited to see what one county in Florida had to do. Florida was a, generally speaking, red to purple state back then. And in one county in South Florida, they had all kinds of election gaffes. They had to do what's called counting chads. And when they finally did it, my recollection is that Bush won the election by about 300 votes on a national basis. So the Electoral College is huge. Don't ever assume that where you are is safe. Here's the other thing. I also have a good friend who ran for city council, local race. She lost by one vote. We appealed it. I was her attorney. We appealed it because we found 9 votes that we believe should have counted. When we won the case, which we did, the judge ruled that 5 of those 9 that we found should be counted, and then we opened them to see what they were, and she still lost by 1 when it was all said and done. I like to say we won the case and lost the race. But here's the problem. She found out later on that a couple, 2 people, close friends of hers, had gotten complacent and forgot to go vote. Those 2 people would have swung the entire thing. All I'm saying is this. You don't take a constitutional right like voting. That's like saying, I don't know that I'm going to speak up at all. Why? You have freedom of speech. I just don't know if I'm going to. Well, that's just lazy. So my point is this. And Chris, by the way, thanks for your text. It's a great text. It got me on a mini rant. But the bottom line is this. Never, ever, ever give away one of your rights. If you can't go vote because something comes up with health or you're out of town or whatever else, I get it. But don't ever let it be because, well, I don't know. It matters no matter where you are. Absolutely does. John from Brownsboro says, are we going to meet up with Tuberville, Dan Bongino, and Dale Jackson at the Auburn game? They all said they'd be there. I have no plans for that at this particular point, although I am an Auburn fan. That would be a hoot. Brand new texter, Shorty from Anderson. How about that? Shorty from Anderson says, first time texter, long time listener. That was an inspiring open monologue. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Shorty. Appreciate you, man. And then John from Huntsville again says, hey, Phil, did you hear that in Texas and Virginia, a lot of ineligible voters have been removed from the voter rolls? Yep, Alabama too, brother. I want to say over 3,200 names have been taken from the Alabama rolls because they were found to be otherwise, ineligible anyway. All right, so number one, triple dipper, lawfare. Lawfare, what am I talking about? That's the weaponization of the legal system against somebody else. Trump has had to endure massive cases, both civilly and criminally, against him all at one time. Think about this. You got a woman who showed up out of nowhere saying that 40 years ago, Trump had allegedly raped her in the back of a store. Okay, he has always denied it. He was not convicted of rape, but she sued him civilly for defamation, because he spoke out about her saying these things about him. She prevailed because the state legislature, seeing what was coming in New York, changed the law to amend the statute of limitations to allow her to file this suit. It was a get Trump opportunity. And so they did. And so now that's on appeal. Then secondly, you've got the New York Attorney General going after Trump's businesses. You've got the New York City DA, Alvin Bragg, going after Trump criminally. Alvin Bragg had to make up things that had never been done in the law before. Not only that, but he decided that since Trump had written checks that he didn't like for things that were allegedly for legal services, get this, he went ahead and said, well, every check is another felony. Really? It's not a felony that he wrote checks. You're saying that every single one of those checks is a felony. So when the liberals try to tell you, he was convicted on 34 felony counts, he wrote 34 checks to the same thing. So if one's a crime, they all became a crime. That's on appeal. Why? Because it needs to be, because that was a jackleg case. Then you got the situation with the classified documents case. Biden has classified documents in his garage. Biden has classified documents in his study. Biden has classified documents at the Penn Biden Center. Biden's not facing any charges. Interesting. Yet the FBI thinks it's okay to go ahead and raid Mar-a-Lago and then bring a special counsel to indict Trump on the classified documents. And then, oh, by the way, that case was just thrown out. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Then you got the fact that you got Fannie Willis. Fannie over there in Atlanta area. Fannie is bringing a case. She indicts 18 people. Not just Trump, 18 separate people, some of which were Trump's attorneys. Like, I'm sitting here as an attorney right now thinking, you mean if I'm helping my client under attorney-client privilege, zealously defending their interests as a matter of law, that a DA can prosecute me? That's unreal. The bottom line is people's lives are being ruined because of Get Trump. 18 different people indicted. That case is now indefinitely on hold. Why? Because we found out that Fannie's not that good a person and that she may have done some pretty unethical things to try and get to the point that she could get Trump. And now the appellate courts in Georgia are reviewing her to see whether she has to be taken off the case. And if she's taken off that case, I think that case goes away, period. And then you got the other Jack Smith special counsel case. Jack Smith's still mad because his Florida case got thrown out. Okay, but don't forget, Jack Smith is still indicting Trump on January 6th stuff. Oh, yeah. Well, where's that one now? Because keep in mind, some of this has already gone to the Supreme Court of the United States. The question of presidential immunity is a big deal. Let me tell you something. If you're president of the United States and every decision you make is one that someone can either sue you for or, for that matter, bring a criminal indictment for, then no president is going to be able to get their job done ever because they know that half the nation already hates them anyway. Watch what happened to Trump. The Supreme Court of the United States agreed. Substantive immunity is real. You need to have it. The functions of government cannot be sustained if someone is constantly in fear of making a decision that someone doesn't like, and then they bring a jackleg case against you. So the SCOTUS said yes, immunity. Jack Smith just decided, well, that might wind up doing away with a lot of my stuff on this January 6th thing, so I'll just amend the case. And he did, and that's where we are. Story here on Fox News comes out yesterday. Trump indicted for a second time in the election subversion case brought by special counsel Jack Smith. So here's the thing. Jack Smith is a jackleg, but Jack Smith, he literally filed what's called a superseding indictment. In other words, we have an indictment. We already indicted him, but I'm bringing another indictment. This is the one we're going to use now. The new indictment, it keeps all the original criminal charges, but it narrows it down and reframes it, which is like the legal way of saying, oops, what I meant to say was, that's what we got. We've got an oops. Oh, you mean like my case was so wrong that it might all get thrown out? Oops, let me amend that real quick. That's kind of where we are. It says specifically the indictment has been changed to remove allegations involving the Department of Justice and other government officials. Why? Because SCOTUS ruled there's immunity. So all the places where he was trying to say, well, he even talked to his attorney general. Well, we believe he might have been trying to weaponize government for January 6th and the election subversion. And if Trump talked to his people and said, what options do I have? What can we do about this? The fact that he talked to his people is a function of government. The Supreme Court of the United States says you can't indict him for that, for consulting with his attorney. You can't do that because he didn't follow through on the action. He talked about it, but he didn't follow through on it. There's a difference. That's called consultation, not collusion. Conspiracy is not always just talking. Now, here's the thing. The new indictment removed all of the references to things he did with others in office. Why? Because now they can say, here we have, conspiracy to defraud the United States as an individual. Conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding as an individual. Obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding and conspiracy against rights, both against him as an individual. So they stripped down the criminal case, trying to file this thing just in time because he had a deadline, Jack Smith did, to tell the judge how they want to proceed after the Supreme Court came in. Now we're going to see whether the judge allows it. And listen, the whole thing just, God, this boggles my mind. Trump came out and made a statement writing on Truth Social that no presidential candidate or candidate for any office has ever had to put up with all this lawfare and weaponization directly out of the office of a political opponent. I would agree. And you know what? If there was one thing, if they had looked among all the things they hate about Trump and they had found a case and they said, this looks real. I think we need to pursue this. And there was one. I think the world would look at it and go, ooh, this is going to be interesting. How's that going to play out? But when you bring one here and one here and one here and one here and then one over there and then, oh, by the way, you're talking about one over there, after a while it begins to look like overreach, right? It begins to look like a feeding frenzy, like everybody wanted a little piece of lawfare. All God's children who hate Trump want a chance to be able to hang something on their wall that says, I got a piece of Trump. It's nauseating, to be honest with you. And as an attorney, I have a love for the law. I really do. Mine has all been civil. I don't practice criminal law, but I have a love for the law. I love to litigate. I like going to court. I like dealing with witnesses and evidence and trying to put things on in a cogent and coherent manner. But in the middle of it all, I also know that I love the law. I love the application of the law. I love knowing that we're a nation of laws. And I'm watching this right now. It is an absolute abomination of what the law is supposed to be. If you can weaponize the law against people, then nobody's safe. Because the law is supposed to be where you turn to safeguard society. When society can be torn down by the law, you have tyranny. It's two different things. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We will do that break and come right back. I got some reaction from a few of our elected officials here in the state of Alabama about this new Trump prosecution. And then I'll tell you about some more. And then coming up top of the hour, Jay Town, former U.S. attorney. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Big Rig, I'm looking up on the screen. It tells me that the Foo Fighters don't want Trump playing their music anymore. Your thoughts, quick. What do you think?
Music's for everybody.
I'm saying play it.
Yeah.
I think they got mad the other day because they played There Goes My Hero when they introduced Robert F. Kennedy endorsing Trump.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty epic.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Foo Fighters would probably sell more records if they'd go ahead and just stay quiet.
Maybe.
I'm just saying. All right. Hey, listen, I'm in this first dipper here, lawfare. So just so you know, this superseding indictment that just showed up yesterday in the Trump January 6th election subversion case. We have two of our politicos in Alabama that have already spoken out about it. U.S. Representative Barry Moore, who's been on the show multiple times. He served down in the lower part of the state from the Wiregrass region. He called the new indictment election interference, plain and simple. And then U.S. Representative Robert Aderholt, that represents a big part of this listening area here in North Alabama, he said the new indictment was an example of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris weaponizing the Justice Department. I agree. But what about some of the other stuff? Here's a question I have. Is Trump going to be sentenced to jail? Because the other case, one of the other cases you've got is the one that Judge Juan Merchan up in New York presided over. The Alvin Bragg case, the Stormy Daniels falsifying records case, the one where they came up with a crafty way of creating 34 separate felony counts, which I just, Judge, where was your mind? Anyway, what's going to happen with that? Newsweek has a piece. The sentencing is scheduled for September 18th, which is what? Less than 45 days-ish before the actual election day? It says Donald Trump, according to Newsweek, they say he's unlikely to be jailed for the Stormy Daniels falsifying records case. I don't trust Newsweek. In my opinion, I think there is a risk that Mershon would sentence him to jail. I don't know that for a fact. This is not my bailiwick per se in the law, but I will say this. There is every reason for Newsweek to downplay it because it's inflammatory, and there are people out there who will give a sympathy vote to Trump because they're mad at the way he's being treated. The Dems have overplayed their hands in the minds of some people. It says Trump is due to be sentenced on September 18th, less than 2 months before the presidential election. Judge Juan Merchan delayed the sentencing from July to September so he could consider the impact of the Supreme Court's recent presidential immunity decision. Then they interview several people. There's a law professor at Syracuse named Greg Germain. He says he believes that in the end, this is going to be dismissed on appeal. In the meantime, he says, if Mershon sentenced him to jail in the middle of the election, I think the courts would do whatever necessary to prevent that. In other words, he doesn't think Mershon will be allowed to send the presidential nominee to jail on something that is a nonviolent first offense that is also so speculative. Another federal prosecutor chimed in, told Newsweek that she believes there's a strong chance that Trump won't even be sentenced until after the election, like they may delay it further. And then you've got a law professor and former Bush administration guy named John Yoo. I've seen his commentary. He's pretty sharp. Yoo thinks that there's a strong chance that Trump will get sentenced to jail. So basically what I'm hearing is they don't know. No one's been able to predict Mershon so far anyway, although I will say this, Mershon has let everything that could go against Trump happen. How about this? Jack Smith is not done. Jack Smith is not reading the tea leaves in Florida. Jack Smith, once again, the same guy who introduced the superseding indictment yesterday, Jack Smith is the one who also had the classified documents case thrown out that he was trying to bring in Florida. He had to bring it in Florida because the documents were stored at Mar-a-Lago. So he's bringing it in Florida. The 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which is based over in Atlanta, is part of the 11th Circuit is Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. So if there's an appeal within a district or federal case in those three states, it goes first to the federal district, unless for some reason it bypasses and goes straight to the Supreme Court. In this case, the 11th Circuit is going to hear the fact that Jack Smith just filed an appeal of the dismissal. Okay. Bottom line is, he's not quitting. He wants Trump's abetting and hardly stand it. So Jack Smith is bringing it back again, and we'll see where that goes. And then there's Fannie Willis. That one turned into a cartoon case. That one turned into like an episode of, you know, some bad sitcom. Where you look at it and go, okay, what scriptwriter made this up? You've got an activist DA who makes no bones about it, who speaks about things as if they're racial when she's trying to go after the president of the United States, and she hires the guy she's having an affair with who's never done criminal law to help her corral the case, and the whole thing begins to fall apart because guess what? She's not a good person. It's unbelievable. Coming up next, Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, will break some of the force. Let's see what he had to say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Hump Day. You are halfway to the weekend. We're going to get you all the way to go home time today. Now, listen, I'm in dipper number one for the day, lawfare. I'm talking about the things. I've never seen such a concerted civil and criminal effort to weaponize the systems of law that are supposed to be a part of the hallmarks of our country in such a way that, you know, just really attack an individual, in this case, Donald Trump. And by the way, anybody who stands next to him, because don't think there's not collateral damage here. But that being said, let me bring on somebody who is who's been in the fray as both a prosecutor and a former U.S. attorney. Jay Towne has got his degree from Notre Dame, his Juris Doctorate from Seton Hall. He was a JAG officer in the Marine Corps. He was a U.S. attorney appointed by Donald Trump in the Northern District of Alabama, and he's on the phone right now. Jay Towne, how you doing?
Bill, Semper Fi, thanks for having me on, my friend.
Semper Fi, man. Hey, so let me ask you this. First of all, break it down for me. Jack Smith, superseding indictment yesterday. What the heck?
Yeah, the it's almost like Jack Smith practices losing, or he's in the five stages of grief. I can't quite figure it out, but this superseding, what I did last night, I for your listeners, I do a lot of television appearances too as a Trump surrogate, legal surrogate. And when I laid the two indictments, the original indictment and then the superseding indictment that came out yesterday, when I laid them side by side, they're almost identical. About the only thing that was carved out is references to the Department of Justice and meetings Trump had with, Jeffrey Clark, who's an idiot. And so nothing really changed. This was a meaningless filing by Jack Smith. And by meaningless, here's why I say that, Phil. In a week, they're going to have a hearing, and they've been briefing back and forth with Judge Chutkan. They're going to have a hearing about what remains in the indictment after the Trump versus United States immunity opinion, and also after the Fisher opinion. You'll recall the Fisher opinion was the week prior to the immunity case, so it sort of gets overshadowed now, but at the time, it was devastating to the obstruction of an official proceeding counts to Trump, because remember they said, delaying an official proceeding cannot be obstruction. That's not what this law says. That's what Trump's been charged with.
Yeah,
he isn't charged with destroying a meaningful document. He didn't take all of the electoral ballots and burn them in a campfire. He didn't do anything. He gave a speech at the Ellipse, and a bunch of other people did things. But those counts remain in the superseding indictment, untouched, unfettered by the Fisher opinion, and there still remains in the superseding indictment a number of pieces of evidence that presumptively Trump is immune from prosecution or those activities even being evidence in a trial or before a grand jury. And so clearly Jack Smith, the Supreme Court is shaking its head at Jack Smith if it's read the superseding indictment today. Remember, he's not just immune from prosecution. The things that he's immune from, those official acts, like tweets, like conversations with his chief of staff, with the vice president of the United States, with White House counsel, speeches he gave at the Ellipse, tweets and other conversations, things in the Oval, that can't be used in evidence, period. If he's immune, it can't be used against him. And so, and the Supreme Court is very clear to carve that out. And Jack Smith left it all in. And remember, this is an interlocutory right, Phil. And by interlocutory, what that means is that, and you know this, but for your listeners, what that means is that before we go to trial, before I suffer the indignities of this process any further, I get to appeal your ruling saying I'm not immune, or I'm not, or this particular activity or conduct is not immune. And so this is going back to the Supreme Court next year. And, when Trump wins in November, takes office in January, I hope I'm on the transition team for Trump so that I'm the guy that gets to fire Jack Smith.
Oh, that would be all right. If that happens, you're going to be on the show. All right. We're going to talk about it then. But
I might live stream it. So, okay.
We'll be there with you, man. I want the T-shirt. But So let me ask you, this is in front of what? U.S. District Judge, this is Chutkan, Tanya Chutkan, I believe, that has it. And so there's a hearing next week, a status hearing. Is it possible that there'd be a motion to dismiss the superseding indictment that could be ruled on as early as next week?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see dismissal motions all the way throughout this process, and they have to do that to preserve any issues that they would like to take up on appeal. Judge Chutkan's not a friendly judge. Think of Judge Chutkan as Juan Merchan, but with a federal black robe instead of a state black robe in New York. She doesn't like, remember, she found originally that there's not even a such thing as immunity.
For anybody,
and certainly not for Trump. The Supreme Court said, man, Are you stupid? Right? And so they were a bit more pithy than that. And I say all this tongue in cheek, but Phil, listen, I mean, this is, let me be serious for a moment. I've spent my entire adult life in the service to my country, to my state, and to the law. To this day at Gray Analytics, I'm still working with members of the intelligence community, the Department of Defense, and members of law enforcement with some of the projects that we have going on over there. I have dedicated my life to law and order and to national security. And when you see lawfare, and I resisted it for a very long time, that this isn't lawfare, this is just a bad decision, but it's not lawfare, they're not weaponizing the Justice Department. And then you see Fani Willis and how unserious that case is in Georgia. You see Manhattan and Alvin Bragg and how unserious that case was. Juan Merchan, Jack Smith, you know, supersedes both the Mar-a-Lago case and now the January 6th case. And it's not just like, okay, we're going to charge you with one thing and go with that. It's like, no, we're going to, in the timing of this, remember, you know, they just found out about the Mark Zuckerberg news and Hunter Biden's trial, his tax trial, which has all sorts of salacious details where he was writing off prostitutes and cocaine and drug dealers and you know, all that. And that's the evidence of his evasion of taxes. That starts next week, right? And Jack Smith has a habit of bringing these things forward, these indictments, these superseding indictments. He brings them forward when bad news is coming for the administration.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this, though, before I run out of time. So the Alvin Bragg case, which to me was one of the most, you know, it's a travesty of justice. But the Alvin Bragg case is set for sentencing, what, next month, I believe? Like coming up in a few weeks, September, what, 18th? 45 days-ish before the election's over? And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on sentencing, because it could go everything from a slap on the wrist and go pick up trash on the side of the road for a while to felony jail time. What are your thoughts?
There's a couple of things. One, Alvin Bragg has curiously not opposed delaying sentencing so that they could work through the immunity issues a bit further. Remember, Alvin Bragg's trial had all sorts of evidence of official conduct. In fact, they referred to it as official conduct, not only in their opening statements, but their closing arguments and when they were eliciting the evidence, right? So there's really no hiding that. It's really whether or not that was error or not. And I would say to you that if you admit inadmissible evidence, it is always reversible error. And there's no such thing as harmless error when somebody had a constitutional right that was violated. And evidence borne against them in a trial. Think of a bad search. Well, we admitted it anyway, but we think you'd have been convicted without it, so this conviction stands. Well, what's the point of the Fourth Amendment then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing with presidential immunity in Article 2. So I think that what you're going to see is that this will get pushed a bit further. It wouldn't surprise me if it only gets pushed if Merchan pushes it the week before the election or something like that, it probably would help Trump because it would seem so deliberate. What he should do is dismiss the conviction, vacate the conviction, and make Bragg start over without that evidence. And you and I both know, that's not going to ever see the light of day again.
No.
And without that official conduct, all that, remember, Hope Hicks, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the meeting with Cohen in the Oval, his tweets, what he was doing in the Oval, how he paid checks, things like that. That's all official conduct that's inadmissible now. All they basically have at this point would be a little old lady named Deb who made the data entry and Michael Cohen sending checks, right? That's it. So a lot of this Trump conduct goes away. Doesn't mean a Manhattan jury wouldn't do it again. But I think that Trump certainly has a lot of legal arguments.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think if the appellate courts review Fani Willis in Georgia and they take her off the case, I think that case goes away. And I think you're right. If there's a vacation of the current convictions in New York, I don't think it ever comes back again. I think they're just cooked. I think they're done. Their whole goal was to stop the election process from having a unconvicted nominee, and they're not going to get that. Final words here, Jay. In all your years, have you ever seen anything where you had this much civil and criminal. It's almost like a circular firing squad. They are surrounding and firing from all directions. And it's just, it's falling apart around their feet at this point.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. In my career, I remember maybe the biggest criticisms of me were that I didn't indict enough people, right? It was never that I was always indicting the wrong person or that I was just targeting, a guy that I disagreed with. You got to have evidence beyond a reasonable doubt to convict someone, even if you think they're involved. So there's the colloquial, pundit who thinks, well, that guy probably did it too. Well, that's great. That's great evidence. Let me throw that against the wall and see if that gets me beyond reasonable doubt. I'm a professional. You carry around a pen. So I'm gonna trust my instincts on this one. So yeah, I've never seen anything like this. That's why I do subscribe to the idea that this has been lawfare all along,
And
it continues. But God bless the man. He's got alligator blood in his veins, and he's not curled up in a ball on the floor. He's fighting even as hard as he ever has, and he's gonna win. He's gonna win, Phil.
Well, at this point, I think not only does he need to win for his own benefit, he needs to win for our benefit because, truth be told, if they can do it to him, they can do it to anybody.
And he wants to win for our benefit most of all. I do believe that in my gut.
Jay Towne, as always, man, good commentary. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Phil.
All right, man. Take care. Super Five. All right, yeah, always, as always. Move us to the break there, Big Rig. I ran long, but that's never seen anything like it. I'm going to tell you right now, if a former U.S. attorney, 12-year Marine Corps JAG officer, private practice, DA, prosecutor, has never seen anything like it, well, then it ain't never been seen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.